This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Introducing the Star Patrol Spotlight, the most intense flashlight you've ever seen. Compared to two car headlights, the Star Patrol shines up to four times as bright.
That's bright!
Illuminate objects up to a half mile away, even from the top of a skyscraper. The Star Patrol easily lights up buildings from across the skyline.
That's insanely bright!
Push Turbo Boost for a crazy bright boost that's 100 times brighter for 30,000 candelas of mega bright light.
What? That's insanely bright!
With 10 illumination modes, the Star Patrol is a spotlight, floodlight, emergency light, and more. Take care of all your lighting needs with one Star Patrol. Don't settle for dull flashlights. If the Star Patrol isn't the brightest flashlight you've ever seen, return it for a full refund. Go to GetStarPatrol.com for your free turbo boost, plus free shipping and a money-back guarantee. That's GetStarPatrol.com. GetStarPatrol.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number three now underway. Big time guests in this hour. Davis Maddock, Donnie Wrightside, talking fantasy football, prop betting football, and also what is going to happen next year, which includes the NBA in-season tournament. As we brought up who we think is going to win it, what the people actually think is going to happen. And it looks like a clear runaway right now for the Bucks at 41%. Bring up the rear are the Pelicans. Nobody cares about the Pelicans here, running wild and beating the Sacramento Kings in order to get into this Final Four here. I think it actually is going to work out in the NBA's favor because you want superstars. You want players to care, Davis. And it looks like the NBA has the players buying in.
They do. I mean, there was this great graphic going around after the Pacers won. But the Pacers, Donnie, they have the lowest payroll in the NBA. I believe five of their 15 guys are on two-way contracts or rookie minimum contracts. So making an extra $500,000, pretty good. If you are the 15th guy on the Pacers roster, making $500K, that's a good year for you. Now, does LeBron James care about $500K that much? But LeBron, famously, Donnie, he's like the cheapest guy in the NBA. He won't pay for Spotify Premium. He doesn't have the check mark on Twitter. The guy, I can never tell if it's a bit with him or not. But I mean, who doesn't want an extra $500K? How rich do you have to be in your life for $500K to mean absolutely nothing to you? These dudes clearly want to win. I think the basic thesis behind the in-season tournament was every player in the tournament is going to want to care about these games. I think that has proved to be true. I think all the guys have been taking it seriously. No guys have been resting for these games. The stars have been playing three or four extra minutes in all these games. Like, clearly everyone cares about these in-season tournament games.
Yeah, and it's going to be fun to watch it play. As we welcome in the radio audience, you're watching and listening live to The Early Line. Donnie and Davis here in the morning on a Wednesday covering the in-season tournament and also our poll here on the Sports Grid Network. If we take a look at the odds to win the in-season tournament, the Bucks plus 165, the Lakers at a plus 230 price, the Pelicans at a plus 380, and the Pacers at a plus 440 price. Now, also, when I joked last night about saying to myself, hey, man, it's no slack if Phoenix gets to the big dance here in Las Vegas and plays in this, but I know the NBA loves those eyeballs that LeBron James brings. The same thing with the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis Antetokounmpo. So while we're setting up who's actually going to win this, there is a good chance, and the favorites say, or should I say the odds say, Bucks Lakers. The NBA would love that, Davis, to be the final.
They absolutely would. This would be Adam Silver would be throwing alley-oops to himself off the backboard in his office if they get a Lakers-Bucks final. I think, this is a time of year when a lot of people are not yet tuned in to the NBA. Now, us here on Sports Grid, we're locked in. You know, I got real opinions about the Denver Nuggets backup center spot and, like, should Zeke Nagy be playing more minutes over DeAndre Jordan or whatever. But, like, I'm not everyone, right? Most people, the NBA doesn't start until Christmas, right? You tune in on Christmas, you got the five games, although pretty interesting this year with the NFL having three games on Christmas. I wonder how that will impact NBA ratings and all of that. But a clear win, I mean, Bucks-Lakers on a Saturday in Vegas, people are tuning in. The ratings on that game are going to be really good. People are like, oh, what's the in-season tournament? Why are they in Vegas? What's going on here? Oh, we're Googling it. Like, that would be a huge win. Pelicans Pacers, I'm going to keep it 100 with you. Pelicans Pacers would not hit the same. It would be interesting. I would, as a basketball fan, you know, Zion, Halliburton, Brandon Ingram, CJ McCollum, like, I'm down for all of that. I think it's good, but clearly not what the league wants. The league would minimum make it, honestly, to me, make it Pacers Lakers. That would just be a fun game. Those teams would be running back and forth. You'd have LeBron against a team that, like, plays absolutely no defense, so he'd be able to be doing his cool passes and, like, shooting three-pointers and that classic step back. Like, that is what Pacers-Lakers is officially what I'm rooting for now as we think through this.
By the way, the NBA not liking the NFL probably playing three games on Christmas Day. My wife also, Davis, probably not liking that because it means, Donnie writes, I will be live on the air on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Thank you, NFL, keeping the bills paid in the DRS household. But let's get back to some of these games here that are going to take place in Vegas. I feel like a team that we don't talk about as much in this Final Four are the New Orleans Pelicans here. They're at a plus 380 price. The Lakers are plus 230. It's not going to be that big of an upset if the Pelicans are able to take down the Lakers, but I love conspiracy theories, and I always buy into them, even if they don't make that much sense. The Lakers and the Bucks in the final makes too much. Now, I'm not going to cross over and say, well, did you watch the game last night where the Phoenix Suns had a turnover against the Lakers, and LeBron was like, bro, give me a timeout. No problem here. You get the ball back. You win this basketball game. But those things, for me, just feed into it here. I know the NBA wants the Lakers in the final, but the Pelicans at a plus 380 price, it's not that bad.
No, it's not that bad at all. But Donnie, I'm not taking it. You would have to be suicidal to be against LeBron. And not so. You would just have to be way too cold and calculating. You would have to be someone who is just in the spreadsheets, because that is just not how it works. Whoever is refereeing this game, they're getting, you know, the envelope before the game that says if LeBron does not get every whistle that he needs in this game, you are going to be, you know, refereeing G League Ignite games this time next week. That's just, you know, it's really the way it goes. And LeBron, I mean, LeBron gets every call anyways, so it's not like it would even be that suspicious. Like, LeBron is, like, number one guy in the NBA. And honestly, the Lakers actually match up really well with the Pelicans because their best defenders are big guys. The best scorers on the Pelicans are big guys. And then I guess an attempt at a revenge game here for Brandon Ingram, obviously began his career, was part. Got to be weird to play against a guy you were traded for. Like, imagine you and Kevin Walsh get traded for each other, and then you got to go on and do a show together. Like, that is a weird vibe, man. You guys would be like trying to make the, you're like, oh, I'm going to make the best point. No, I'm going to make the best point. I'm going to have the best bet tonight. It's got to be a weird thing to play against a guy you were traded for.
Well, if Kevin and I get traded straight up here, I mean, whoever gets me is a massive win. And also, I'm pretty sure that Kevin's side of it is going to be giving up a lot of first-round draft picks to try to compensate for the talent disadvantage that the company that Kevin Walsh gets here. Now, I'm not throwing any slander out there, but I'm just being realistic. MVP market here. By the way, Lillard, if the Bucks win, is a plus 380 price. Giannis is plus 430. And the same way I look at, like, LeBron James plus 430 and then Anthony Davis at plus 750. Is it, like, wouldn't you just take Giannis as figuring, like, he is the face of the NBA, basically, and he gets it? Or does it really matter of who's going to play the best in that final game, Davis?
I bet it's the latter. I think ultimately the MVP of the tournament will be the guy who goes, you know, 28 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 blocks, 1 steal in the final. That's got to be it.
There you go. That's got to be it here. By the way, you know what else has to be it? Take a look at some props here moving forward, because your boy Donnie Wrightside took Ezekiel Elliott's rushing prop to be over on the season. It's already cashed in. How big a week can he have this week on Thursday night? Come on back and find out. It's here on the line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The NFL never stops. The information always traveling here. There are injuries all over the board. It's time to keep you updated on that here on a Wednesday to get you prepared for this weekend's NFL football games. Davis Maddock, Donnie Wrightside here. Let's get started in New Orleans. Davis, I want to start here. I had high hopes for New Orleans before the season started. I looked at that schedule and said to myself, they should be able to win this conference, win this division, and also be a high seed by getting multiple wins, meaning at least double digits on the season. It looks like I'm going to be completely wrong on that. A chance to win the division? Still absolutely yes. To win 10 games, that's not going to happen. It hasn't been great, and the reason being is we haven't got a lot out of Derek Carr from this organization. Injuries and maybe lower play and team expectations that I thought would be higher have leveled off here. But let's talk Jameis Winston and talk Jameis Winston this weekend. It's the perfect setup for him. They're going to be at home taking on the Carolina Panthers. How many points do you actually need as a total is listed at 37.5. If we take a look at Jameis Winston in New Orleans, give me some opportunities to bet him possibly or fade him. But basically, what are we looking at from Jameis in New Orleans now?
I mean, I think ultimately the idea with Jameis Winston is that he cannot help himself. Jameis Winston came in relief for Derek Carr 3 weeks ago. Then they went into the bye week. And Jameis immediately, first play, 40 yards, Chris Olave. Second play, 18 yards, Chris Olave. Handed the ball off once, took a sack. Then what did he do? He scrambled out to his left. He evaded a sack and then threw a ball 45 yards parallel across the field, a throw that would make any coach, any quarterback pull their hair out, just, be absolutely miserable, and throws a touchdown to A.T. Perry, crowded in the corner of the end zone. That is just what Jameis does. So I think the ways to exploit this, one, take a look at what is getting posted for Chris Olave. I would imagine that his yardage prop and his touchdown props are going to move slightly positive, although the very low total for that game probably will keep them down. Also, check to see, just the health status of Rashid Shaheed. I think that Rashid Shaheed and Jameis Winston were like built in a lab for one another. I'm thinking back at the end of that crazy 5,000 yard season for Jameis, where, Brashad Perryman was out there. Brashad Perryman had a 3-touchdown game. Like, Jameis can just really get it going with anyone. So what I am hoping is that is exactly what he does. He comes in. Derek Carr, he's like the worst red zone quarterback I've ever seen. He comes in and so if your quarterback's going to be making mistakes anyways, at least have the quarterback making mistakes be Jameis, because it's more fun.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, because again, I don't think you need a big offensive output to beat the Carolina Panthers. You certainly don't want the mistakes, which we know. Boomer bust is fantastic in the betting market, specifically if you like team totals or games to go over, because every touchdown pass could be countered with an interception going the opposite direction. We'll see if they can resurrect their season, the New Orleans Saints. I'm hoping they can, because I have them involved in a couple parlays here for them to win the NFC South, and we'll see if that happens. The one thing I bet right away, Davis, here, coming up in this season, was Ezekiel Elliott going to the New England Patriots. Did I think he would have a sensational year? Not necessarily, but his rushing prop was anywhere between 350 to 375 to where you were shopping at. He has since covered that here, and now looks to be the feature back possibly for the rest of the season in New England, with Ramondre Stevenson going down with a high ankle sprain. This Thursday night, yes, this is not a first half total. The game total is a 30.5 between the Patriots and the Steelers. Give me some opportunities moving forward on Ezekiel Elliott. Is he going to be the bell cow carrier there for the New England Patriots? And number two, can he have success in that role?
Yeah, he is going to get, I think he is going to get absolutely fed. I've just kind of scoped through looking at fantasy football stuff this week. What could the Patriots do to keep Ezekiel Elliott from getting the ball 20 times in a game? And honestly, I just don't see it. Their running back room right now. So Ramondre, I don't think is coming back for the rest of the season. You suffer a high ankle sprain in week 13 for a team that's trying to get the number one overall pick. You're probably done for the year. They have Jamichael Hasty, who they claimed off the practice squad from Jacksonville. He spent some time in Cleveland this year as well, I believe. They have Ty Montgomery, who actually had to play wide receiver last week. Remember, Ty Montgomery, wide receiver in college, converted to running back, converting back to wide receiver because the Patriots have no healthy wide receivers. They have Kevin Harris on the practice squad, and that's it. So I can't believe we're saying this in 2023, but I mean, Ezekiel Elliott is going to end up being a guy that like swings fantasy football championships. If Zeke has been sitting there on your bench all year and you've been rifling through, you know, for example, this week, I would start Ezekiel Elliott in this crazy, terrible Thursday night game over DeAndre Swift. And maybe you'd say like, that's insane. Swift can get there on fewer touches. Like, no, Zeke he's going to be doing the feeding meme. It's going to be him doing the bowl of cereal. Like this dude, he might get 30 touches in this game. It's like as much as his body can handle, he is getting that against the Steelers.
It's pretty funny that we bring that up too, because you're right. Like down the stretch, if you can say, I just got a running back that's going to get 20 touches every single game while you're in a playoff run, that is sensational. We'll see if it happens here, and also see if Ezekiel Elliott can provide that punch. And by the way, punch to an offense for the Patriots, that's not even really a word. Maybe if they score any points this Thursday night, it could be a victory. But the one thing we know about Bill Belichick, if he's not happy with his quarterbacks, he's happy to hand off to his running backs. And we'll see if that plays out there on Thursday night. Let's keep moving forward. We're going to take a look at this Buffalo Bills Kansas City Chiefs game again here. Why? We're going to look at Travis Kelce. Started the season, normal Kelce statistics. Getting in the end zone, everybody's happy here. The remaining games here after, I believe it was the sixth week, week 7 to 13, only one touchdown, which is wild. This is a guy that's supposed to get every single red zone target here, but hasn't equated into touchdowns. Talk to me about Travis Kelce this week against the Buffalo Bills and possibly moving forward, Davis, what we can anticipate.
I mean, it's pretty insane that if you drafted Travis Kelce in the first round of your fantasy football league, you're like bummed out. He had the 9 for 124 game against Denver, 12 for 179 and 1 against the Chargers. But this is what he's done in every game after that. I mean, this is the most Evan Ingram stat line you've ever heard. 6 for 58, 3 for 14, 7 for 44 and a touchdown against Philadelphia, 6 for 91 against the Raiders. And honestly, the most disappointing one, it's got to be 4 for 81 in that loss to the Packers. I think not only is Travis Kelce, you know, scoring 15, 16 fantasy points per game, again, a key for everyone who's sitting there trying to make the playoffs, trying to win their championship. It's a huge key for the Chiefs because they're clearly not as good when Kelce is not firing on all cylinders.
It should be one to watch, and that is a big-time football game. Whether or not the Bills get in the playoffs could be determined in that. Whether or not Kansas City can fight for that home field advantage certainly will be on the outcome. Let's take a look at another AFC team, particularly the Miami Dolphins. Now, I got burned a little bit this. I had a very nice prop game when the Dolphins took on the Commanders. I was lined up all across the board on the Dolphins, and it worked out really well. The one I didn't hit was Mostert to go over 44 and a half rushing yards. He got the 41. Why? He didn't get any second half carries outside of that first drive because Devon Achan was back. Talk to me about Achan the rest of the way and how it might cut in to Raheem Mostert's statistics.
I think he's going to cut into Mostert's statistics pretty clear, because what was weird last week, Donnie, was you would expect Achan coming off the injury. He's not going to be playing when they're up 30 points. He'll go back to the bench. Nope. It was all Achan. They gave him a touchdown on fourth and goal with like 2 minutes left for a team they were beaten by 40. I think the best comp for him is he is Chris Johnson. He is the modern day reincarnation. I'm not going to give any running back the Jamaal Charles comp. I don't think any of them have earned that. But he is so Chris Johnson to me. That is exactly what he reminds me of.
Yeah, interesting stuff the rest of the way in the marketplace, and a lot. Yes, fantasy playoffs are up for grabs, but also we're just trying to make some money here by taking a look at which guys will have the statistical advantages here. And who would have thought Ezekiel Elliott on a horrendous football team, instead of being cut loose and betting, hey, you know what, go to a football team you think you can win. He's like, you know what, I'm the primetime guy in New England. I'm exactly where I am supposed to be. We'll watch that play out on Thursday night, and a 30 and a half total tells you a lot about how many yards we think we're getting on both sides of the football in that game. Stay tuned here. Boomer Esiason up next. Let's talk more NFL right here on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here on the early line, hour number three, talking a lot of NFL action. It's Donnie Wright, it's Davis Maddock, and we welcome in former NFL MVP Boomer Esiason, part of the FanDuel family. Welcome into the early line on this Wednesday morning, Boom.
Good to see you, Donnie and Dave. Thanks for having me on.
Fantastic stuff. We got a lot to go over. Now, let's reminisce a little bit here. Let's go back to the 1988 season. The reason I'm doing this, Boomer, is we saw the Philadelphia Eagles and the San Francisco 49ers tee it up in a game of the year scenario, which the 49ers absolutely rolled the Philadelphia Eagles. In 1988, the Buffalo Bills came in red hot to Riverfront Stadium at 11-1, and you guys were 9-3. You handled your business that day, but you probably thought in the back of your mind, we might see this ball club again, which you did in the AFC Championship game. Talk to us here about the mental edge that you might have saying, we handled them before, we can do it again if they meet in the AFC playoffs.
I think it's always tough to beat a team twice in the same year, especially when they are good teams and they're from different divisions. It's one thing if you know each other from your own division, but it's a little bit different when you're in the same conference. For us, I have to be honest, you know, the Buffalo Bills were a really, really tough team. The second time we saw them in that AFC Championship, it was a much different game. It was a much tougher game. And we got away by, you know, we were running the ball back then later on in the season. And that's when you know you're really good, is when you're able to impose your will on the opposing team that you're playing against. And I think that's one of the reasons why we were able to beat Jim Kelly and the Buffalo Bills before they went on to four straight Super Bowls. So it was just a matter of, you know, knowing who they were. They knew who we were very well. We also were running the no-huddle offense, which Marv Levy complained about prior to that AFC Championship game. So we had a little distraction to deal with because Paul Tagliabue at the time was going to outlaw what we were doing the whole season going into that game. So Marv Levy, at least for 2 days, where it was in our head, and then certainly when we got there to the game on Sunday, we would use that as motivation to ultimately beat them.
It's pretty good. I mean, it is pretty hard to beat guys twice in the same season. We are honestly looking at that maybe being the NFC Conference Championship right now, with San Francisco and Dallas playing so well. These guys are the two favorites for the NFL MVP this year. Brock Purdy 300-1, Dak Prescott 300-1. The market can't call it. Honestly, both playing in very different ways. Dak almost leading the NFL in average depth of target. Purdy much closer to the line of scrimmage. How are you handicapping the MVP race between these two?
Well, I am a voter for the race, and I do take it very seriously, given the fact that I won it back in 1988. And I know what it means to have that kind of pelt on your resume. So I look at these things really, really closely. Right now, I have four players who you don't really need their last name involved to know who they are. Brock, Dak being two of them. And, of course, Tua and Tyreek. Tyreek is on the outside looking in. But if he goes over 2,000 yards, especially if he does it within 16 games, nobody can make an argument that it took him an extra game to beat Calvin Johnson and set the record. So those are two other players you got to look at. And even Lamar Jackson is a guy that you still have to look at. And even C.J. Stroud. We have five games left for most of these guys, if not all of these guys. When I take a look at San Francisco, do you know that Brock Purdy, when he does have Debo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey healthy in his pocket, he is 16-0 over their last 16 games when all three of them are on the field. And they've scored 529 points over that span of time, which used to be a single NFL season. That's remarkable. So that tells me he is the odds-on favorite, because I do think he has the best team, has the best offensive mind in football, the second best offensive mind in football probably down in Miami with Mike McDaniel. But I think that right now, for me anyway, Brock a slight edge on Dak, and I do think that I'm kind of foreseeing the future that I think that San Francisco is going to be the number one seed in the NFC. And by the way, that beatdown last week, man, that was real. That was a real thing. And Jalen Hurts has been saying over the year that his team has not been playing great. I don't think their defense is nearly as good as it was last year. And the Dallas Cowboys now are lying in wait for the Philadelphia Eagles to extract a revenge of their own from about 5 weeks ago.
We're talking to Boomer Esiason here, former NFL MVP. And if I ask you this question, because you did win MVP, and it's relevant to this argument, you take a look at Brock Purdy, Dak Prescott, Jalen Hurts. Now, social media much different now because it wasn't around in the late 80s. Did you know you were in the hunt for the MVP? And did it certainly circulate around by saying, "Ooh, if I play well, I can actually win this award," affect the play positively or negatively or not at all, Boomer?
You know, I think I remember hearing about it like when we got into December, when there was like the last month and, you know, my numbers were good. They were comparable to everybody else playing my position. Plus, our team came back from a just horrific 1987 season. We were 4-11. It was a strike season. We were torn apart in that season. So we had a real great turnaround. So I think that also added to the story of the 88 Cincinnati Bengals. So that probably helped me as well. But these players are aware of it. And believe me, they all check social media. They're all listening to everything that's being said to them. People are adding them, going into their DMs. So they know what's going on right now.
They do. They do, definitely. Now, if any of them tell you that they don't, they are absolutely lying. I guess one guy who probably is a little bit more happy to check it these days than he was 6 weeks ago, it's got to be Jordan Love for the Green Bay Packers. I mean, this was a team, we were leaving them for dead. Oh, they're going to finish last in the division. They might lose to the Bears. No, Jordan Love has been awesome. They're 4-1 over the last five games. They just beat the defending Super Bowl champions. Obviously, what everyone wants to know is, does Green Bay have their quarterback for the next 15 years? You know, you just draft a quarterback and you keep them for 15 years. That's what they do there in Wisconsin.
Yeah. So my son Gunnar happens to be a Green Bay Packer fan, and it goes all the way back to the days of Brett Favre. And, you know, he's a little bit disgusted going into the season, not knowing what was going on, and they were losing, you know, potential Hall of Famer or future Hall of Famer, I should say, in Aaron Rodgers. But he did like Jordan Love. I remember talking to Gunnar, my son, when Jordan was coming out of college. He goes, "Dad, I really like this kid." And then lo and behold, Green Bay drafted him, and then he obviously had to sit as long as Aaron did. So, you know, 10 weeks ago, Brian Gutekunst, their GM, basically said, you know, we got about 10 weeks to find out whether or not we got the quarterback of the future, and he lit a fire under Jordan Love. There's no question about that. I see the last 5 weeks, 4-1, great. The last 3 weeks, he's 3-0 with 8 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. And 2 of those throws that he made last week against the Kansas City Chiefs were just awesome throws. They were big-time throws. One was on 4th-and-1. He throws it down the field, hits the receiver right in the breadbasket, and then the Christian Watson touchdown where he threw it so high that only Watson could go up and get it. You know, that's when you know a quarterback really knows what's going on. He's feeling the defense. He's reacting properly. He's making good decisions, quick throws, accurate throws, and he's athletic enough to get himself onto that secondary kind of platform type of thing that everybody talks about. But I will say, Tua, Brock, Dak are all quarterbacks that play the position the way it's supposed to be played, and that's from the pocket. They'll take off a little bit, but 95 to 98% of the time, they're in the pocket, reading defenses, and getting rid of the football. And that's what I like to see about Jordan Love. The last couple of weeks, I see that type of player that is starting to emerge, and that's good news for Packer fans.
Certainly not easy to come after Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers for so many years. He's finally working into that quarterback we thought he could be. But in the NFC, he has his Packers back in the playoff race. If the season ended today, the wild card race would be the Cowboys, the Vikings, and the Packers, two teams actually from the NFC North. On the outside looking in with similar records, you have the Seahawks and the Rams. We think the Cowboys are getting into the playoffs, a big game against the Philadelphia Eagles this weekend. But of the Vikings, Packers, Seahawks, and Rams, who do you think it's in, Boom? And who do you think might get left out?
Well, you know, I think the Packers are going to make it. I think they're going to get the 10 wins. You take a look at their schedule, the way that they're playing right now, assuming no major injuries or letdowns, they're a team that should be able to get the 10 wins. I think that's what's going to take in the NFC wild card race. I do believe that somebody in the NFC South is going to be there with either a 9-8 record or an 8-9 record as a division winner. The other teams, you know, I would not fall asleep on the Rams. And the Rams are interesting because, you know, with Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp and Matthew Stafford playing the way he is, they can go against anybody. They can beat anybody. I mean, they went up against a Browns defense that was damn good last week, and they played exceptionally well. And that was a game when, you know, I picked the Rams to win the game because I wasn't sure about the way Joe Flacco was going to be able to play for the Browns. And by the way, I would give him a B+ for the way he played since he hasn't played in over a year, and he threw the ball really well. But Matthew Stafford and those two wide receivers, man, there's something special about when they are on, they can beat just about anybody they play.
Yeah, Flacco was spinning the ball all over the yard last week. He got back with his old buddy Elijah Moore, like his adoptive son, I feel like, at this point. He was chucking it all over, and they also are a real threat to making the playoffs. We're taking a look at the AFC championship odds. I mean, where do you see the Jaguars, Ravens, Dolphins? I mean, it's a mess. Are you able to call this at all for the AFC conference championship winner?
I don't think we can. I'm thinking that Miami has a really good shot at the number one seed, but then again, so does Baltimore. We haven't seen them. They're coming off of a bye, of course, but there's a game in about 3 weeks that's going to be in Baltimore. Miami has four out of their last five at home. The one away from home is going to be at Baltimore. That will be a tough game, and that will be the test to let us know whether or not Miami is a legitimate Super Bowl team that if they had to go on the road in the playoffs, they could actually win a game. Now, they took Buffalo, you know, deep with their backup quarterback last year, but I think that if Tua can stay healthy, they should be able to lock up the one seed. And what will be interesting about that, people don't realize this, with the exception of the Super Bowl, Patrick Mahomes has never had to go on the road and win a playoff game. He may have to do that this year, and it may have to be down in Miami. Now, I think that would be a great game if somehow, someway, Kansas City at Miami would happen in the AFC.
It would be unbelievable to watch that play out. And yes, we would all be cheering on Patrick Mahomes to try to do it the hard way, Boom, and go on the road in the AFC. We want to thank you for joining us this morning, representing FanDuel and everything that they have to offer. Thanks, Boom, for chiming in with us this morning.
My pleasure, guys. Anytime. Have a great day.
Fantastic stuff there, Boomer Esiason, former All-Pro quarterback, getting it done here. And look, there's words of knowledge out there that you can listen to heading down the stretch. There's a lot to go over, but certainly if you want to talk quarterbacks and have some fun, Boom's the guy to do it with. Coming up next, the NBA right here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're talking NBA action and the in-season tournament. No, we're not going to talk about that at this next segment here. That's going to be saved for later in the week as we wait for to see who's going to be crowned NBA Cup champions of 2023. Let's get started on the hardwood. It's Donnie Wrightside and Davis Maddock. First game, we'll get to the Orlando Magic and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Currently on the FanDuel Sportsbook, a favorite here for the Cavaliers at -4 and a total that's coming in at 223. If we're looking at side total or options here, and what gives also in the props market for you, the Davis?
Well, I'll give out the same tout that everyone else is going to give out. Your favorite pick is going to be Orlando Magic in the first half. They're the best. They're still, I mean, we are 25% through the season. They are in net rating. They are the best team in first halves in the NBA. They are, you know, much worse in the second half of games. But I'm ready to say this. The Orlando Magic are for real. What they are building is real. This is a team I think that probably should make a trade for a point guard. You know, I'm just sitting here. We're almost to December 15th. The December 15th date is important because that is the date that everyone who signed a contract this offseason is eligible to be traded. So the market, you know, opens up. The Magic should get a point guard because the defense, they are the second best defense in the NBA by points per 100 possessions. Like, they are legit. I'm actually just going to take the Magic money line here in this game. I think they are legit. I've got real concerns about the Cavaliers. It's just a lot of Donovan Mitchell dribbling. And I think eventually they need to trade Jared Allen, and they just need to make Evan Mobley a center because he has not been quite good enough. Like, not three-pointers even, but like 18 to 20 feet from the basket on the nail. Like, he's just not quite there yet. They need some more space. They got to get Mobley to center.
We're talking about real concerns here. We may be looking at the San Antonio Spurs. Not real concerns that we don't think Wembanyama is going to be a great NBA player, but just the overall prospects of the 2023-2024 season for those Spurs. You take a look at them going up on the road against the Minnesota Timberwolves, a hefty favorite here for the Wolves at a -12 here, and also a total listed at 228. The anticipated starting lineups tonight for these two. Looks like Brownham, Johnson, Wembanyama, Collins, then you flip it over to the Timberwolves. Looks like most of their stars are in tonight as well. Gobert, Carl Anthony Towns, Mike Conley, and Anthony Edwards. Is this game going to be a blowout in this spot here? What are we looking at? Taking the points with the Spurs, a Wembanyama bounce back, and also, it's Big Cat going to have a big night here for those Timberwolves.
I think maybe I would maybe shade towards the under here, if anything. You know, I mean, this seems like Pop will only do this every so often, but they will do the Wembanyama at center just for like 5 minutes here or there. You know, I think it probably was a good decision for the organization to sign Zach Collins as a free agent and not force Wembanyama to, you know, just be banging bodies against all the other biggest dudes in the NBA. This is going to be I'm super excited for this matchup. Like, how is Wembanyama going to do as the primary defender on Karl Anthony Towns? Because that's sort of what you would imagine the superpower of Victor Wembanyama, which is teams that play a stretch big. Wembanyama should be able to both protect the rim because he's about 900 feet tall and be able to close out on any of those stretch fours or stretch fives. Like, I would be very interested to see what Cat's numbers are tonight, just like 1v1 when Wembanyama is his primary defender. I'm super excited for that. And then if we get a Wembanyama Embiid matchup at some point this season, I don't have a lean here. Side total spread, like a 12-point game. What is the rotations going to be like for both teams? Like, this to me feels like a spot where it's like, I just don't have a really, maybe I would take under on the game total and just kind of expect like a boring kind of nothing game.
Yeah, heavy line in that one, certainly, no doubt. We'll see if the Minnesota Timberwolves can overpower the young Spurs here. Talking about some young basketball teams here, how about the next game we're going to talk about that's going to tip off at 8:10 Eastern? That's the Oklahoma City Thunder taking on the Houston Rockets, lining this one up a -2.5-point favorite here for the Oklahoma City Thunder as a slight road favorite. Total in this game listed at 226. A lot of options to go here. What are we looking at from this game, Davis?
All right, I do have an opinion on this one. We got a lead pipe lock here. I mean, Oklahoma City these are the spots that Oklahoma City has really thrived in this season. Like, teams that are kind of like middle of the pack, they are picking up all their points in these spots. You know, teams that are sort of bottom to like 15th best team in the NBA. I do think the Rockets, I mean, obviously they are a much better team than they were last season when they were basically the worst team in the NBA. They are, you know, they're a comfortable 11th in net rating. The defense actually has been really strong. They're the fourth best defense. They can't score, you know, worse offense than the aforementioned Orlando Magic, worse offense per 100 possessions than the Clippers. So they're definitely not a good offense. That is not the recipe you want against Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City will struggle a little bit if you've got a really good guard who can penetrate and kick. And Fred VanVleet is fine, but this dude is not a star. This is not Tyrese Halliburton, Steph Curry level. And I mean, these games are super important. It is getting late early in the Western Conference because 50 wins in the Western Conference, I mean, that might be the sixth seed in the Western Conference this year, Donnie. Like, it is tight up at the top there. And Oklahoma City also, like, they got to be making decisions because they are not this offseason, but next offseason, they are going to have, I believe, 4 players up for max contract extensions. Like, they need to be gaining as much information as possible. And I do wonder if one of these young guys, I mean, could be Giddy if he ends up, you know, not like being arrested or whatever, could be Usman Jang, could be Lu Dort. But one of these guys is, I think, going to get traded this season. That's another hot take there.
Yeah, the Western Conference is absolutely sensational. It's going to be tight all the way through, which is no different than tonight. Take a look at this. The Denver Nuggets head out to the West Coast at Crypto.com Arena to take on the Los Angeles Clippers. The Clippers, they're the favorite tonight. -1 here. On the money line, it's a -104, -112 split. And the total in this game listed at 227. Of course, we're always taking a look here at Nikola Jokic. Can he get a triple-double? How many points, assists, and also rebounds can he put up in this game? But also from a perspective from the opposite side on the Clippers, a lot of guys that can do damage there as well. What are we looking at tonight out west between the Nuggets and the Clippers?
Well, I mean, I'm tempted to do a second lead pipe lock here. What I will say, no scenario exists where I would bet on the Clippers against the Denver Nuggets. Like, Jokic, Porter, Gordon, Murray, they could all be out and it could be, you know, 10 points and I still would not take the Clippers money line. It looks like Jamal Murray is questionable. I'm going to guess that probably means he's not playing tonight as he's working his way back from his hamstring injury. Looks like Aaron Gordon is going to play after missing a game this weekend. But just in general, I'm never betting against the Denver Nuggets. Like, the Denver Nuggets are, this is the perfect starting five. The Nuggets just kind of got, obviously they did do the one trade.
And also, you take a look here at the Denver Nuggets. I believe it was the game just a few short weeks ago where nobody played for the Denver Nuggets against the Clippers, and they went in and won that game outright. So certainly some interesting ingredients there overall from the Denver Nuggets perspective. And you're right. If you're taking a look at a line that's that short, regardless of who's in or out, may not make a difference there with the Nuggets. But also keep in mind, Jamal Murray coming back to this game. This is why it's so hard to bet the NBA early morning action, because you could take a look at this minus one that could take a look at minus five, minus six later on. And if you do remember the last time that the Clippers were at home against the Denver Nuggets where the Nuggets didn't play anybody, that was a 4.5-point line in the morning, which I think ballooned to basically an 11 or 12 by the time game time. Didn't matter. The Denver Nuggets had won that game outright here. Also, some other NBA topics and NBA games to go over here. The Miami Heat and the Toronto Raptors up in the six. The Toronto Raptors are a favorite, minus 3.5 points in this game, and a total of 220. Heat Raptors, Davis. What are we looking at there?
I mean, how much money would I have to pay you to get you to watch this game? These are probably the two. These are like the two least interesting good teams in the NBA. You know exactly what you're getting. These are teams that I mean, look, there's a reason that the total is 219. When like the average NBA total now is like 222. We saw 244. These teams are not heavy three-point shooting teams. These are teams that take the shot clock down to five every trip down. These are teams that use their big men to score quite a bit. You know, it's just and the Heat, you do absolutely have to give the Miami Heat credit. They totally move around their roster. They trade away two of their big guys, Gabe Vincent and Max Strus, who were huge parts of their rotation, their run in the postseason. They don't miss a beat. I mean, just absolutely do not miss a beat without those guys. They've got, you know, Jaime Jaquez is out there. He actually won. He won Eastern Conference Player of the Week. Like, kind of incredible, actually, to be getting that much production out of these guys who are on very small contracts. Obviously, you always have to be looking for the Miami Heat to make a move. But to be honest, I just do not like watching the Heat play basketball in the regular season. It's just a slog. And the Raptors to me are like so directionless. I love their direction like 2 years ago. The whole thesis is, all right, you get a bunch of guys who are 6'8", 7-foot wingspans. You put them all out there on the court and you see what happens. But now they are in a spot where they got no shooting, just no shooting on the roster anywhere. I guess I would lean the Heat on the spread in this game, but not a high degree of confidence there.
By the way, not a single person looked at that move to get Jaime Jaquez in the draft and goes, you know what? I don't think that's going to work out in Miami. It just seemed like a perfect fit here. So we'll see how he continues his NBA career. Utah Jazz and the Dallas Mavericks. This one, double-digit line. You see the Dallas Mavericks here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, a favorite of minus 10, a total in this game listed at 230.5. Will it be that easy tonight for a Dallas Mavericks victory here, Davis?
Yeah, should be pretty easy. I mean, this is what the Mavericks do. The Mavericks are sort of flat track bullies. The Mavericks are really going to struggle against other really strong teams in the Western Conference because they're awful defensively. They are seventh in the NBA in points per 100 possessions on offense. They are, I believe, 24th in the NBA in defense. They're the same team as the Pacers, where they have won unbelievably good offensive player in Luka Doncic. They have a second pretty good offensive player in Kyrie Irving. I think you could probably argue Kyrie better than any of the other scorers on the Pacers, but they just don't play defense. Like, they have this Derek Lively Jr., who they took very early in the NBA draft, who immediately came in as a starting center. That looks like a huge hit for them. So it looks like it's going to make up for the fact that they signed JaVale McGee to that 3-year, $18 million contract, only for him to just be like brutal. Like, when I don't even think he plays. Like, he just DNP CDs every single night. But yeah, give me the Mavericks here. This is a good spot, probably, if you're a prop parlay guy. I have a feeling, Donnie, I could probably get you on some of those. Adding Luka's over three pointers in any of your prop parlays tonight feels like a pretty good spot for him there, because he will be defended by a bunch of dudes who are like 6'2", you know, Clarkson, Talen Horton Tucker, these guys just a lot smaller than him.
Now, also, Davis, if you're throwing an extra 30% odds boost or 50% odds boost on those prop parlays, yeah, we're going to be down and betting those, of course. Let me ask you this question. We talked a lot about the in-season tournament odds. Let's get back to the big picture. NBA championship odds. The Celtics at a plus 370 price, the Nuggets at 4-1, followed by the Bucks at 440. Who gets your money right now in the overall NBA championship market?
Nuggets. The Kings stay the Kings until they get dethroned. I actually think the market might even be a little bit wrong. To me, the Nuggets, better team than the Boston Celtics. I think the primary Boston Celtics problem, they can't pass the ball, that has not changed. They still are not a good passing assist team. I still got the Nuggets for the championship.
Look at my boys. The 76ers pulling up in that five spot here on the FanDuel Sportsbook. We got 15-1 to win an NBA championship. We'll watch that play out much, much more, which includes, again, the season tournament coming up this weekend from Las Vegas. One more segment to go for the early line. You don't want to miss it. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Who had fun today? I certainly did. I think Davis Maddock did as well. 3 hours here on the early line. We brought up every single topic you could actually ask for here to get you ready for your Sports Grid day and also off into the weekend with some previews and even into the future with the college football previews as well. But today, in this moment, this is when we'd like to try to get down and give some best bet winners. Yesterday, I was let down in my best bet winner. Why? Because Devin Booker didn't show up. Needed to get 28.5 points. He only got 21 points yesterday. So I'm looking square at the FanDuel Sportsbook myself, Davis, and saying, where am I going on the board tonight? One team I know that doesn't play any defense, it's the Washington Wizards. So if we take a look at the total in that game, 239.5. I'm actually not going in that direction, but I will take the Philadelphia 76ers to hammer the Washington Wizards, and I'm laying the 10.5 in that ball game. Davis, for you tonight, the board is yours. Where are we going?
Board is mine. You know, we're going to take a look at Stony Brook. No, I'm just kidding. We are we are taking the Oklahoma City Thunder money line against the Houston Rockets. These are the spots that this young team is built for. Also, I'm just like in general, the NBA product should be really good tonight because every team that didn't have to play an in-season tournament game, 100% rest. They're feeling great. They just got 4 days off, man. They might have just taken a little mini vacation. But yeah, Oklahoma City Thunder tonight, lead pipe lock, Donnie.
I love it. And by the way, we're probably not going to get to talk to you before tomorrow night's NFL game, if you want to call it that. Is that game going over 30.5 points? Give me a quick answer on that.
If you got to take the over, absolutely have to take the over in that game. No question.
So Davis is telling you guys, Ezekiel Elliott, don't bet one touchdown. Bet multiple touchdowns out of the beast. Feed Zeke tomorrow night. We'll certainly all enjoy that, but I hope you guys certainly enjoyed this installment of the early line on a Wednesday morning. Davis, fantastic job, man. Fantastic.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. I love chatting ball with you here early in the Midwestern morning. I've had a blast, dude.
Two college basketball experts teeing it up on the early line tomorrow. Maybe BSS is getting that tee in here, and that voice that we love will return. We'll be out of here for the day. Enjoy the rest of your Sports Grid programming coming up next.